Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 51. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Joining us today are, we have two guests with us, Ryan Manriquez and his girlfriend, Nora Zaid. Both are from Sacramento, California, and they are sophomores at Folsom Lake College, and they'll both be transferring to UC Davis soon. Nora studies psychology, and Ryan studies political science. Ryan has SMA type 2, and he and I met at last year's Cure SMA conference. So, Ryan, Nora, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. This one will be a lot of fun. I know we've had a few couples on before, but I think this is probably the youngest one we've had. So I'm really excited to talk with you guys. So this will be really cool. So to start off, Ryan, I wanted to talk to you first. This is kind of a general question I ask to all my guests who have SMA. So could you just tell us a little bit about your background, you know, when you were diagnosed with SMA and just what it was like for you growing up with a disability?
Yeah, so I was born in San Jose, California, and I was diagnosed 18 months. And, you know, that time in San Jose, we noticed my family that the house was a little bit small. So we kind of needed a new house that would fit my needs. And that's when we made the decision to live in El Dorado Hills, which is a suburb of Sacramento. And we built our own house. You know, we kind of fit it to my needs, basically. And it was all accessible. And, you know, the community really came together with my classmates at our elementary school and just embraced me and embraced who I was and accepted me as a part of the community. So I think that helped kind of shaped my younger years and definitely positively affected me now.
That's great. And Ryan, do you have siblings? I can't remember.
No, I'm an only child. So that means I'm the best one.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I'm the youngest of three. So, but I was just curious because if your parents had any other experience or what it was like for them kind of adapting. But that's really cool. And then just growing up in school, you know, like, did you have an aide with you at school?
I always had a one-on-one aide, and for me, it was a friendship, you know? So, like, yeah. They helped me get my binders out. They helped me, help me write if I needed, my hand got fatigued. So it was a friendship, basically, and they were there every step of the way, and I really felt safe, and I felt that my needs were met and kept.
Did you have one that stayed with you for a long time? Because I had several growing up, but I was fortunate to have the same one from, like, I think end of seventh grade through. She stuck with me through senior year of high school.
Yeah. So I've always had, you know, it hasn't been a year or less. It's always been a year or more. Mm-hmm. So I've had the same one from kindergarten to fourth grade, and, you know, fourth and fifth grade kind of switched. And, you know, I had the same one throughout high school. I was really close with the special ed department and all the people who were involved in my IEP. So I was very thankful for the people who were there to support me in my education.
That's really cool. And then on that note too, so in terms of, you know, I know you both are in college now, in terms of your transition to college, what was your thought process like toward the end of high school? You know, like, were you looking to go away from home, or what was that like?
So honestly, I didn't really know, and I was a little bit scared about it. And because I didn't really know, and like, I kind of had to grasp, like, oh, we have to get on all these different programs, like Department of Rehab pays for my tuition and books, so that takes a little bit to get on, and Social Security and IHSS and all these different headaches, to be honest.
Sure.
I didn't feel like I was ready to go off to college and deal with all that while handling a full course load. So I made the decision with my family to stay at home for 2 years and go to a community college. And I think that has benefited my stress level and just my coursework now, because I'm not under all that pressure away from home.
That's great. And just curious, do you have any at-home caregivers right now, or are you holding off on that until you go away to university?
I do have some at-home caregivers. I know I usually have friends help me just because I'm at home and they live in the neighborhood.
Sure.
So I have a couple friends help me just, you know, getting lunch or using the restroom. And then I have others who help me turn at night and stuff like that. Cause, you know, I honestly want to give my parents a break after 18 years of them doing it. Right. So, I kind of balance, and then going off to college, I gotta go into that role where it's a full-time caregiver. And so I'm just kind of balancing into that transition.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Well, and then along these notes and kind of talking about your relationship. So, Nora, I wanted to talk to you for a minute. Could you just talk a little bit about your background and then how you and Ryan met?
Yeah. So I'm a psych major. I've always been interested in psychology. Education has always been really important to me. So that's how me and Ryan kind of connected in a way. And yeah, I've lived here my whole life, and it's about it about me. So.
Oh no, it's all good. Well, and so you and Ryan met in class then?
Well, we technically, the first time we met each other, it was at a scholarship night thing, because I got a scholarship, he got a couple scholarships.
Okay.
And he was doing a speech about like his life and that kind of stuff. And so that's the first time that I saw him. But we didn't actually talk. We actually met, it's embarrassing, but we met on Tinder. So there's that.
Hey, it's not, I actually had a couple on last year, and I'm interviewing them at the conference. They also met over Tinder. So, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're actually,
it works.
They could be a sponsor for us after this.
Yeah.
But, well, I want to talk about that. So, okay, so first off, Nora, is this your first experience dating someone with a disability?
Yeah, it is. This is also my first, like, real relationship, too, okay. So.
Yeah.
First for everything.
Sure. And then, Ryan, have you dated before, or were you, or was this new to you as well?
This was new to me as well. It's kind of the same thing. Like, it's the first real relationship. You know, we're calling each other boyfriend, girlfriend, and saying things like, I love you. Which is pretty shocking, but, you know, I'm happy that I'm in this position I am now, and, you know, we love each other, so it's working out for the best.
Sure. And, you know, I was talking with you guys a little bit about this before, but just in terms of kind of, like, how things you've learned about each other and through your relationship. So, you know, we were talking about, like, Squirmy and Grubs before this, which is Shane and Hannah's YouTube channel, and other books that just kind of address stigmas about interable couples. I'm just curious if you guys have encountered any of these stigmas yet, or, and if so, like, how have you responded?
Yeah, in the beginning, I think it was a lot more than, like, what I encounter now. It's just always, like, telling people, like, yeah, this is my boyfriend or whatever, and then, like, they're like, oh, I want to see a picture of you guys, and I show a picture, and they're like, oh, and you just see that look on their face, and you're like, okay, I see that.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I remember this one time. I was at my mom's work, and one of her colleagues came up to me and was like, oh, I saw a picture of you and the boyfriend. Are you okay with that? And I was like, what do you mean? And so that's what I usually do when, like, I encounter, like, situations like that. I ask them what they mean, and they, like, tend to think about it a little more, and they realize, like, that's not an okay thing to say.
Right, so, right.
Yeah.
That's what that's great.
Oh, okay. Other than that, like, we kind of just get a couple of stares when we're out together. Mm. But, like, I personally don't mind it. It's like, yeah, look at us. We're kind of cute. So.
Follow us on Instagram, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Well, and Ryan, were there, like, I know, so this is your first kind of relationship. Like, was it something you, like, had pursued in the past or thought about? Or is it more... So, like, did you have any reservations yourself about, like, about dating or any of those things you had to overcome? Or was it just you were ready now and you started to?
Well, I think it's a mixture of both. Because in one sense, you know, I definitely did have questions and reservations like, oh, you know, if we want to go out to dinner, I'm going to have a caregiver drive me. If I want to go to her house, it's a little bit more difficult. Like, I have to think about a lot more things. But, you know, in the sense, like, I'm ready to start dating someone. Has clearly worked out, and, you know, I'm happier now than I was when I wasn't with someone. So I'm very thankful for that, and I kind of weighed out the options and decide what's best for me.
That's great. And Nora, is there, like, I know, I mean, it's probably a lot, but are there anything specific, like, you've learned about SMA or just disabilities in general that, like, maybe you had never thought of before since being in a relationship with Ryan?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as soon as we started talking, like, I started researching what SMA was and started reading articles on it and, like, scientific studies because I'm, like, a giant data nerd. So that was the first thing that I did. And, like, as soon as we started dating, I also started looking at, like, the world around me and understanding more about, like, the importance of accessibility and all that kind of stuff because that's something, like, I was very privileged about not having to think about before. So those are definitely some things that I've learned.
That's really cool. Yeah, no, I imagine, like, are there any stories like that about, like, trouble getting to accessible buildings or anything on dates? Have you encountered that yet? Just kidding.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah, we usually plan ahead a lot. So.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, and just curious too, like about your relationship, like any favorite things you like to do together, whether it's like going out to dinner or concerts or anything like that.
I think for, I'm going to answer this one for myself, but I love going to movies with her because I can hold her hand for like 2 hours straight. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was like our first date too. So it's always fun to do that. Yeah.
Nice. Very cool. Well, and Nora's a Star Wars fan. So to our listeners out there, I approve. Like, a little interjection here. You have to listen to an episode I did not long after the SMA conference. I interviewed a parent who, him and his kids got to meet, like, Peter Mayhew before he passed away and watched at Star Wars Celebration. It was pretty awesome.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
So, very cool. Well, that's great. And I'm sure we'll probably talk more about this, too. But shifting gears for just a minute, Ryan, I did want to talk to you about Spinraza for a minute. I know you've been on it for a while. Can you just talk a little bit about being on this treatment and kind of maybe what changes you've experienced in that time?
Yeah, definitely. And before I start, I just want to say I'm actually a Biogen patient ambassador. But here in this capacity, I'm not speaking on behalf of Biogen. This is my own self that I'm giving feedback on. So the things that I've seen for myself with Spinraza is that, you know, I've been able to have more strength and been able to lift up a soda cup that I couldn't lift up, you know, or lost that ability. So, and Nora notices it too. Like, I can hold her hand tighter and stuff like that. It's very cute. So.
Yeah, I was getting, Nora, have you, things like that, because, you know, I've been on the treatment for about 2+ years now, and a lot of times it's not even things I notice, it's things that my family and friends notice. Mm-hmm. Are there any things, I mean, I know you've been together since, like, August, so, like, are there things, like, you mentioned the, like, being able to hold the hand stronger, is there anything else, like, you've been able to notice, like, over the past few months, like, even, like, energy levels or anything like that?
Yeah, I notice, like, when I spend the night at his house, like, he can, like, hug me tighter and stuff, like, at night. So, like, that's definitely one of the things. Because I'll ask him, like, how are you feeling? And he's, like, he just kind of says, like, I don't really, like, notice a difference right now or whatever. And I'll be, like, well, I definitely do. So,
yeah,
you know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's been the way with me, too. Like it's a lot of things with, like, my voice and energy levels that I don't even notice that other people do. So,
yeah.
It's really interesting. And Ryan, also, you know, there are, of course, other major advancements in SMA research right now. And, you know, while it's still in the clinical trial stage, Roche and Genentech's experimental therapy, risdiplam, sorry, I know that's really wordy, but that's a big point of discussion in the SMA community right now. I was just curious if you had any thoughts about that drug or any of the others in development, just kind of the state of SMA research in general.
Yeah. I think that it is a very interesting and exciting time to be living with SMA and for the families around them too. I know personally that my mom and my dad did not think there would be a treatment in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And there was one when I was 17 years old. So that was pretty amazing. And now that there are two, and then third one's probably coming up pretty soon. And we see the Cure SMA pipeline. It's got all the different ones on there, and it's just a very exciting time that these engineers and pioneers are creating new drugs to help us for a life-saving treatment.
Absolutely. No, thanks for sharing. And just curious, how long have you been on Spinraza?
My first dose of Spinraza was on October 11th of 2017.
Okay, so yeah, that was, you were about a month before I started, because I was in November. So yeah, very cool. Well, and then also something I always ask my guests is just like, could you talk a little bit about your daily lives? And this is for both of you. You can answer kind of like anything from like college life and all that. But what's kind of a typical day of the week look like for you? And Ryan, you can talk about, you know, managing caregivers as well. Anything that comes to mind.
Ladies first.
Okay. Typical day in my life. I wake up early to go to class. I always talk to Ryan as soon as I wake up. Because we only see each other like once a week with our busy schedules. So we always have to like make time to talk to each other and whatnot. So I either go to school or I go to work, which is also out of school. So I spend most of my time like around education. And that's just how I spend my week, honestly.
And is that, like, I know you said you're a psychology major. Is education what you want to do?
Yeah. In the future, I want to be, like, the director of an Indian education program because I'm Native American. So that's what I want to do. Yeah.
Very cool. That's awesome. Nice. Ryan, what about you? What's a typical day look like in your world?
For me, it's pretty much the same. You know, I wake up early every day because, you know, my mom has to go to work early, so I have to get up early, right? Mm-hmm. And I go to college. I have a caregiver drive me. So I have a film class right now, and don't judge me when I say this, but I'm taking a cardio class.
Oh, it's all good.
Yeah, so I need it. You know, I say it jokingly because it is funny, but I actually need it. I actually need it for one of my degrees, so that's why I'm taking it. So, you know, that's my life. And, you know, I read when I get home and talk to Nora whenever chance I get. You know, we just discovered Skype like just now. Yeah. So we enjoy seeing each other more than once a week. And, you know, when we do see each other once a week, we always want to make sure we're doing something. For example, like this weekend, we're going to Napa with my family and we're having lunch there. And, you know, it's Super Bowl. So we're going to our friend's Super Bowl party. So we always have stuff on the calendar that keeps us busy because we like to be busy and we like to be active and doing things.
For sure. And you said you're a political science major. Do you know what you want to do with that vaguely? Or,
you know, I was, ironically, I was filling out scholarship applications again, like we just met. And whenever anyone asks me that question, I always say something good. So there's a lot of, you know, political science out there. Oh, you can be a lawyer representing a big company, but I really want to help people and possibly help people with disabilities. I think that would be a very good use of my public speaking talents and my arguing talents, Nora could attest.
Nice, nice. Nora has no comment on that, right?
He's very talented.
Very cool. I mean, hey, you got plenty of time to decide. So it's, I know that's a cliche as well, but yeah, very cool. Oh, and also, Ryan, I do want to ask you a little bit, too, about, since we were talking about it before, but the SMA conference. So had you been before last year? I know we met last year, but had you been before that?
I don't think so. And if I had, I would have been like one or two, you know?
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So what was that experience like for you, especially as an adult with SMA?
It was very embracing. I felt like I was at home. And I probably felt more that way because they had all the different services, like the scholarships for adults with SMA and the adult lounge, you know. Those things are really resources for adults with SMA to really connect with each other in a positive manner. So I was very thankful and, you know, it felt very open to me. And I look forward to attending this year's conference as well.
Great. I'll see you there for sure. But yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, and I want to thank you both for coming on today. And just wrapping up, something I always ask guests is, like, if you have any advice for other people with SMA out there. And in your case, like, if you each want to share maybe something related to people who are either skeptical about dating. So, like, you know, like, Ryan, if you want to talk to, if you have anything to say to other people with SMA about dating. And Nora, if you have anything you want to say maybe about, like, people who are skeptical about dating someone with a disability. I know it can be kind of a back question, but like, if just any thoughts on that, if you want to share.
Ladies first again.
Okay. So what I have to say about that, like, when people look at us, I think they don't understand that our relationship is just as normal as theirs is. And like, I just want people to understand that dating with somebody with a disability isn't this miraculous thing. It's just a normal relationship. Like, that's all I have to say about that. You know, like, we love each other. We're in a normal relationship and like, there's nothing miraculous about it. We're just two people in love. So.
Sure. Follow that, Ryan. Yeah.
I know. I don't think I can top it.
And one thing I want to
say, one thing I want to say to someone with SMA who's, you know, thinking about dating someone is it's going to take a couple tries to find the right person. It certainly did with me. It probably certainly did with Nora. But, you know, your person is out there. I'm lucky I found my person at age 19. I realize very few people can make that statement, but it happened. And it can probably happen to other people as well. So that is all I'm going to say. Hopefully I came close to her statement.
No, that's great. Absolutely. Well, guys, I want to thank you for coming on today. Is there any other thoughts you want to share or you know, any you want to make fun of each other while you're here? Anything?
Well, follow us on Instagram. My handle is Ryan Manriquez with 2 Z's.
Yeah, and yep. Mine's Nora Zaid with a dot between Nora and Zaid, so.
Nice. Very cool. Well, thank you both for coming on today. This was great. And for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also connect with us directly on our forums and follow our main website at www.smanewstoday.com for all the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcasts and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. I'm Michael Morales, Senior Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.